What up, what up? Welcome to the Man Cave. It's the Man Cave Football Podcast, the football podcast where we talk everything football related. And, well, we try to sound smart in doing it. I'm Dan Casper, your host, as always. Happy New Year, football fans. New league year starting this week. What a crazy week in the NFL. Crazy free agency week this week. Man, you got teams like the Packers who never do anything. Go out and sign a bunch of free agents, high-profile, big-contract free agents. You got two premier wide receivers, highest-paid wide receivers, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham Jr. They're on new teams. It's just crazy. It was crazy. And then, so we're going to be talking about those. I mean, the Packers, the Steelers, Raiders, Browns. Are they AFC favorites? We're going to talk about all that in this podcast episode. We're going to talk about the AFC South as we continue our division preview, offseason outlook, whatever you want to call it, looking at the Colts, Titans, Jaguars, Texans. What do they need to continue to do to get better, to improve? I guess if you're the Colts and the Texans, how do you take the next step to advance throughout the playoffs? Titans close to it. They were in the playoffs the year prior. How can they get back there? Same thing with the Jaguars. So AFC South is an intriguing division, and we're going to take a look at that. Let's start off with the Raiders. John Gruden, Mike Mayock, pulling the trigger. They get the deal done to get Antonio Brown. This is an intriguing move because we keep going back and forth trying to figure out what the Raiders' plans are going to be. Are they rebuilding? You look at last year. They trade Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, and they get a boatload of picks. There's talk that Derek Carr might be on the move. They apparently like Kyler Murray. Gruden apparently loves Kyler Murray. So are they rebuilding? But now you make a move for Antonio Brown. You sign another receiver, Tyrell Williams. You get Dwayne Brown. You get LaMarcus Joyner. Those are moves that are not moves for the future. Okay, those are moves to help you right now. So I don't know if they still plan on or would like to maybe move up and get Kyler Murray, or they're still planning on taking Kyler Murray. I wouldn't, though. I mean, you got Antonio Brown and Derek Carr doing this love fest. They're hugging it out all the time. They're working out now. Obviously, AB loves himself some Derek Carr. So I don't think you make the move for Kyler Murray. You use those picks to help out your defense now, Mayock and Gruden. You use those picks. Ride with Carr. It's not like he's an aging vet right now. So, you know, this whole talk about going back and forth, what's the Raiders' plans? To me, at least, and I know it's kind of hard to get into Gruden and Mayock's minds and what they're thinking, but to me, at least, you make these moves with Brown and Joyner and Trent Brown and Williams to win now, to win in the near future, not down the line, to win now. So you have to stick with Carr. You have to stick with Carr. On the flip side, Steelers, I mean, you lose Bell. Le'Veon Bell going to the Jets, sat out last year. Now you lose Antonio Brown. You trade him for a third and fifth overall pick, and you're taking that cap hit too. Let's think about this for a second. Are the Pittsburgh Steelers maybe the most disappointing team in the last 5 years or so? Since 2013, when Bell was a rookie, came into the league as a rookie? Think about that for a minute. Could you make the case that the Steelers are the most disappointing team when you had a franchise quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger? You had a premier running back, and you know what? Maybe the best running back in the last couple of years in Bell, not only in just the running game, but in the passing game. And then Antonio Brown, you can make the case, the best wide receiver in the game the last few years since 2013. I mean, these are the numbers that Antonio Brown was putting up since 2013. These are receiving yards. 1499, 1698, 1834, 1284, 1533, 1297. 2011, he had 1,108 receiving yards. He's only had 2 years where he didn't get over 1,000 yards. His rookie year in 2010, and then in 2012 when he had 787. You're looking at Bell, his rookie year, he rushed for 860. 2014, over 1,300 yards. Now in 15, he only played six games, just over 500 yards receiving. 1268, 1291, sat out last year. I mean, in 2014, when he rushed for just over 1,300 yards, He also had 854 receiving yards. Those are some dynamic numbers. Now, I know Pittsburgh's defense, you know, especially during that early stretch, they were kind of rebuilding. They had gotten to a point where they were pretty old. They brought in some younger guys, younger blood, tried to regroup that, you know, rebuild that group. So I know they went through some growing pains on the defensive side. But you look at what that offense had with those three guys. Can you make the case that the Pittsburgh Steelers were one of the more disappointing teams in the last 5 years? I know here in Wisconsin we talk about the Packers, how disappointing they have been with Aaron Rodgers and some of the numbers that that offense has put up over the years. Not to get a Lombardi trophy since 2010, just one since 2010, where they beat those Steelers. But those Steelers had Brown as a rookie and Nobel. So, I mean, look at since 2013, I think you definitely can make the case, and I think it's true that the Steelers are one of the most disappointing teams in the last few years. And maybe when we look back at that stretch, maybe in history, you know how they always do those top 10 lists about most disappointing teams or the best teams not to win a Super Bowl? You know, you got the Vikings on there when they went 15-1. Bunch of other teams on there. Packers you can throw in there 2011 when they went 15-1 with that offense and just that awful defense. I think you could pick the Steelers in the last few years when they had Brown and Bell and Roethlisberger lighting it up on the offense. I get the defense was going through some pains. They were loaded with some younger guys. But man, those were Bell and Brown playing at the level they were. How do you not come away going to a Super Bowl, at least going to a Super Bowl with those guys? It's rough. It's rough. Now the Steelers, they're in a little bit of a rebuild mode too. Is Rudolph the heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger? They got to make that decision quick. You can make the case they're kind of going through a rebuilding stage now too. So sticking with the AFC North, though, do we have a changing of the guard in the AFC North? You know, the Steelers didn't make the playoffs last year. They almost did. Baltimore ended up winning the division. A classic game between Baltimore and the Cleveland Browns at the end of the regular season there for the Ravens to clinch it. But is there a changing of the guard in the AFC right now? I think there is. I think there definitely is. And it's not Baltimore. I get Baltimore brought in Earl Thomas, Ingram. They moved on from Flacco. It's Lamar Jackson's show right now. Baltimore lost some guys in free agency this year. Baltimore's not the cream of the crop in the AFC North, though, anymore. It's not the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's not the Cincinnati Bengals. It's your Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns are the cream of the crop in the AFC North, and dare I say that the Cleveland Browns are one of the best teams in the AFC. I'm trying not to buy into the whole, you know, the big spenders in free agency. How many times does that usually work in free agency? I'm trying not to buy into that because we've seen a lot of times where, you know, those teams that make the biggest moves usually are not the teams that are in it at the end. But you look at this Browns team, and it's hard not to like them as one of the best teams in the AFC. It's hard not to. They get Odell Beckham Jr. now, paired up with his former college teammate, Jarvis Landry. You got Baker Mayfield, who I think you can make the case was the rookie of the year last year. No offense, Saquon Barkley, but Baker Mayfield, if there was any concerns about him, dude lit it up last year when he got his shot. Now you're pairing him with some athletic freaks at the wide receiver spot. I like what the Browns are. The defense now, you bring in Sheldon Richardson, you got Myles Garrett, you trade for Olivier Vernon. You got a solid defensive front there on that defensive line. I think the biggest thing now is going to be this coaching staff. Can Freddie Kitchens be a head coach in this league? I like that he surrounded himself with some quality coordinators, especially on the offensive side. Todd Monken coming over from Tampa Bay. We saw what Tampa Bay did with their passing offense last year. Now he gets Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr., and Landry. You're going to see some of the same stuff that we saw from that Tampa Bay aerial assault last year. Maybe even better. It's going to be ridiculous. Now, Browns, they also have Kareem Hunt. He's suspended for the first half of the season, first eight games. But they got Nick Chubb at running back. As of right now, they got Duke Johnson. They may move on from him. There's rumors about that. But that's not, I mean, Chubb can be the bell cow, be the main guy at running back for the first eight games of the season. Then you're going to get a playmaker in like Kareem Hunt. That offense is loaded, and their defense has got some nice players on there. And then they can, that defensive line, Demaryius Randall is actually playing decent at safety. They got Denzel Ward last year at corner. I'm trying not to buy into the offseason hype, but it's hard not to with the Browns right now. You look at across the AFC, the teams that made it last year. Who can we say right now is better than the Browns on paper? On paper. I mean, Patriots are going to be up there because, I mean, come on, it's Bill Belichick, it's Tom Brady. But, I mean, you look at them on paper, it's still, you know, like, really? New England? You going to do it again this year? But that's the thing with Belichick and Brady. You can never discount those guys. The Chiefs are going to be there with Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and that. But they're rebuilding that defense. That defense is going through an overhaul. I know they got the Honey Badger. No more Barry. No more D Ford. No more Justin Houston. So they're going to have to develop that pass rush from somewhere else. They're moving on to a 4-3 with Steve Spagnuolo. So there's questions. There's legit questions with the Chiefs team, I think. Not questioning the offense, but that defense. I know they were bad last year. I know they were bad last year. But they lost some playmakers now, too, on that defense. So there's questions with that Chiefs team. The Chargers, they lost a playmaker with the receiver kit. They were 12-4 last year. Are they going to be able to live up to that level or take that next step? We'll see. Broncos, Raiders, I don't know if we're ready to call them one of the best in the AFC at this point. The AFC South, which we're going to get to looking at that division, I think it's going to be a good division. It's going to be a good division battle this year. But can we say whether the Colts, Titans, Jaguars, or Texans are one of the best teams in the AFC? I mean, the Texans, maybe. But they need some secondary help now. Jacksonville. Nick Foles is still kind of a wild card. He's out of that Andy Reid system now. I know he's got John DeFilippo. He's familiar with him. He was his quarterback coach during the Super Bowl for the Eagles. There's still some wild cards surrounding him now that he's outside of Philly. Titans. I mean, is Marcus going to be the guy? Some are still kind of questioning that. Colts. Can they continue to build off that? What they did last year, they surprised them. Boatload of people last year. It's good to see Andrew Luck is still healthy. We're going to get to the AFC South here in a little bit more, but coming back to the Browns, on paper, how many teams can you say are better than them right now? On paper. I don't know. I think they're a top three team in the AFC. I think they're a top three team in the AFC right now. They're going to be fun, and they're going to be on primetime all over the place. All over the place. Let's move on to the Green Bay Packers. Surprised more than any other team in the league with their free agency moves. They didn't get one pass rusher. They got two pass rushers and a safety and an offensive lineman. So they get Za'Darius Smith from the Baltimore Ravens and Preston Smith from the Washington Redskins. Now, they don't have big names. They don't have a name like Justin Houston who is out there or D Ford who is available by trade. They don't have those names. But they were the two of the top available edge rushers in this market. They're your definition of guys that peaked at the right moment heading into their contract years. I mean, you can make the case Preston Smith had actually a little bit of a down year, but before that, he was putting up some numbers. These are guys on the climb. Za'Darius Smith was a guy that the Packers had an eye on for a long time, tried to trade for him for a while. So they invest some money and get him. He's going to provide some flexibility on that Mike Pettine defense. You're going to be able to line him up on the outside, on the inside, put his hand in the dirt. Pettine's going to be able to move him all across that line. Preston Smith, he's a better version of a Nick Perry. He plays the run really well, sets the edge really well, can get after the passer, but he's reliable. Dude's playing every single game, 64 games. You're a Packers fan, you're thinking, an outside linebacker that's going to be there every single week? Are you kidding me? Yeah, sign us up for that. So, I mean, what the Packers did, I think if you asked a lot of fans, they would have been satisfied just to get one of these guys. Because these two guys were projected to get some big deals, and they got some nice deals. But the fact that the Packers got both of them, this is not Ted Thompson's Packers anymore. The Packers got two of the top available edge rushers on this free agent market. And then they top it off by getting a top five safety in Adrian Amos from the Chicago Bears. Now, Pro Football Focus loves them some Adrian Amos, especially the last couple of years. It's interesting to watch the dynamic back and forth. So when you talk or when you see some writers who probably cover who do cover the Bears, they kind of question his coverage skill sets. But you look at Pro Football Focus, that's actually one of the areas that he's graded better in. Now, he's got a nickname, Smash, and if you watch some of his highlight films, yeah, he likes to hit. He's not afraid to hit. And I think for a lot of Packers fans, you know, all kidding aside, but they've seen Ha Ha Clinton Dix, and one of the biggest complaints Packers fans had against him was it looked like he was afraid to hit or go in there and hit a guy. Not the case with Adrian Amos. So, you know, he doesn't have the name of an Earl Thomas. He doesn't have the name of Landon Collins. But you add him to that whole group of safeties that were available, he was a top five safety available. Doesn't have the name, but an ascending player. Maybe the one question with this group is the fourth guy, Billy Turner, the offensive lineman coming over from Denver. Didn't have a great career with with Miami. Kind of all over the place with Denver. He's a guy that has made starts on four different spots on that offensive line, every spot besides center. It sounds like he views himself more as a tackle, but right now it looks like he's probably slated to be that right guard unless something happens where the Packers need to clear some cap space. They can move on from Bulaga, clear up around $7 million, and then put Billy Turner in at right tackle. But then I don't know if they would put McCray in at guard or they bring back Bell, whatever have you. So they got to, I mean, that Turner's a guy, when we talk about the offensive line for the Packers, they've always wanted offensive linemen that play all across the line. Turner's that guy, but also he plays in that wide zone running scheme that we know Matt LaFleur is going to be bringing with him to Green Bay. So, I mean, there's maybe some question, well, did they really need to pay him $7 million a year? You know what? If Green Bay really wanted him, they weren't messing around. That's what they did with these free agents. You know, we can question, are these guys one-year wonders? Yeah, I know there's a little apprehension from Packers fans because you may not have heard these guys. But be excited because, you know what? Your general manager, Brian Gutekunst, just put all of his poker chips in the middle of the table. He's calling. He didn't play it safe. He knows that the Packers' window to win is right now with Aaron Rodgers. He can deny it all he wants like he did in the press conference, that they didn't make these moves because Aaron's window is closing. He did. He did. Okay? Brian Gutekunst made these moves because he knew he had to make these moves. He had to. And he did. And I don't think he made these moves or overpaid for any of these guys. The thing is, we'll know once these guys get on the field whether they're going to live up to their contracts or not. We will know that once they get onto the field. But I like that the projection that these guys bring to the table. They bring some flexibility. Goody has given Mike Patton some nice tools to build that defense or to work with that defense now. He absolutely has. And the part of this, too, is it gives the Packers some flexibility in the upcoming draft. They can still go after an edge rusher and really build up that group. They don't really have to now. I mean, it's a loaded, talented group with edge rushers, so I wouldn't even complain if they'd used their 12th overall pick on another edge rusher. You can get creative. You can do some rotations, all that fun stuff. But now they're not handcuffed. They're not handcuffed. So I look at Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith. I see flexibility with Za'Darius. I see reliability with Preston Smith. I see the ability to be, you know, flexible with both these guys and move them all across the line, whether you got them standing up, hand in the dirt, going up the middle, going on the outside. I see Mike Patton getting creative with these guys, and these guys are huge athletic freaks, big guys, big guys. Adrian Amos, he's going to be a guy that I think the Packers are probably going to be putting at strong safety, so they may be wanting to look at more of a ball-hawking type of safety at this point. So Adrian Amos, though, he's a solid safety. He's not going to show up with splashy plays on the highlight reel. but he's a solid safety. And Billy Turner, I think the question is still out. Is he going to be a right guard? Or is he going to be the future right tackle for the Packers? Because Brian Bulaga, I think if he does come back, and I'm all about bringing Bulaga back this year, but if the Packers need to create some more cap space, he may be the guy that's on the outs. But Billy Turner, he provides that flexibility for the Packers. So be excited, Packers fans. You may not know these guys, but they're ascending players. And your GM just did something that we haven't seen in a long, long time. And he just told Packers Nation, we're not rebuilding. We're competing. We're going for it. And what's happened the last couple of years has been unacceptable. That is what should get you excited, Packers fans. Let's round out the podcast looking at this AFC South as our division preview. Offseason outlook continues. Let's start off with the Colts. So they surprised a lot of teams last year. Made the playoffs as a wild card team. Good to see Andrew Luck back healthy with his shoulder. So what do they need to do this upcoming offseason to get better, maybe even go for a division championship? A lot of young guys stepping up last year. Chris Ballard did a great job with that group and drafting some young guys that contributed right away. Frank Reich did a great job his first year as head coach. I look at this team, and as good as their defense played last year, still looking for some more weapons to add to that arsenal. Maybe some D-line guys, more edge rushers to get after the quarterback. Some secondary help, get some depth back there. Also, I'm looking at some wideouts, maybe surround Andrew Luck with some more targets, whether it's a tight end or another wideout out there to go up with Hill. So I'm looking at, the defense did play good last year, but add some more weapons to that. Add some more tools to that toolbox. Secondary, pass rushers. And you know what? Quarterbacks to the caliber of Andrew Luck, put as many weapons as you possibly can around him. Some wide receivers. Because Mac, the running back, did a good job. I know Bell was kind of rumored maybe as a target for the Colts. But I'm looking at some more passing weapons for Andrew Luck. Let's look at the Titans. They went to that final game of the regular season with the Colts that if they would have won, they would have gotten in the playoffs for a second straight year. Didn't get it done. The jury is still out a little bit with Marcus, is he going to be the guy for the future? Is he the quarterback of the future? He's been up and down here a little bit. I think the Titans are going to stick with him. I don't think it's quite to a Jameis Winston extent at this point where there's some major questions surrounding him. But they got to do some stuff to kind of help him out too. So I'm looking at, I know they invested in free agency with some offensive line help. But I think maybe you look at the draft, get some depth at that position. Get some younger guys over there. I think you got to, again, with Marcus, surround him with some more weapons. Maybe some more wide receivers, tight ends. Is Derrick Henry going to be the main running back? Do you want to add another running back to that group over there too? So surround Marcus with some protection and some playmakers around him to help him out too. Because you don't want Marcus taking a lot of hits like he did last year at the end of the season. I mean, the dude didn't even play the final game. So he's got to have to protect himself a little bit better, but the Titans have to protect himself by some getting some offensive line help. I know they invested in free agency, but still look out to the draft. And, of course, the defense, you might want to get some more edge rushers too, more pass rushers. Get after the quarterback, especially in this division. You got quarterbacks in this division. A couple of them, one of them is pretty mobile. A couple of them are pretty stationary in Andrew Luck and now Nick Foles. So get some pass rushers. Sticking to Nick Foles. Jaguars, looking at them, get some pass rushers. That defense just a couple years ago were dominant. There's a couple of guys now missing. Malik Jackson's gone. Dante Fowler was gone last year. So they got to get some look at this draft and bring some more edge rushers to them because they've got some secondary talent. They've got some secondary talent with Jalen Ramsey and that. Get some pass rushers for that Jaguars. Get back to what their defense was just a couple of years ago. You got Nick Foles as your new quarterback. You've addressed that. Now, he's not as mobile as Blake Bortles, so you got to get some protection for him. He's a little bit of a stiff guy back there, a little bit stationary. Now, we've seen Foles isn't afraid to, run once in a while, but it's a little awkward, and he's not a running quarterback, so get him some protection. And you know what? To help Nick Foles feel more comfortable and to really get him to perform at that high level, make sure you surround him with some weapons like a tight end or a wide receiver too. So that's what I would do with the Jaguars. And then the Texans, Deshaun Watson's quarterback over there, they lost some secondary with the Honey Badger and Jackson on their way out. So they could look to that secondary, to the back end, and really try to help that out. I like Reed, the safety over there from Stanford, coming into his second year here. But they need some secondary help with the corners and another safety to pair with him. Also, Watson's taken a lot of hits. I know he's a running quarterback, so that doesn't really help matters a whole lot. He still needs some offensive line protection as well. And then maybe look at some inside linebackers to help out J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney and those sort of guys too. He's got a nice playmaker, Watson does, with Bernard Hopkins over there at wide receiver. So give him some protection on the offensive line. That's it for this episode of the Man Cave Football Podcast. I'm Dan Casper. Hey, appreciate you tuning in as always, but can you do me a favor? Subscribe to my podcast. If you have an Android, just download the Google Podcast app and subscribe. iOS users, download the Apple Podcast app and subscribe. Or as always, you can find us on the web too. Appreciate if you could rate us as well. Just if you can, make it a good one. We'll chat with you next time.